so very humbled to be asked or to come and speak to this, the Lord's Thy So Great a People. As always, I'm thankful for every opportunity I get to talk about my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I'm thankful for all the things that that the Lord has done for me in my life, and I've enjoyed watching His workings in the land as we struggle on here in this time world. And I hope that we've all come praying that the Lord will be with us here for just a little while. I'm so happy to see all the young ones here. It's a wonderful blessing to us. You know, I've been studying for the last couple of weeks and on several different things, but this morning my brain kind of had a data dump and it's all gone. So, but I do have a specific scripture in mind that I hope and trust. It's in Matthew 18. That'll be beneficial to the child of God. I hope for just a few minutes here this evening, we can learn a little bit from these children, and who they are and who they become and where they start and where they finish and what it means, as the word of Christ, as Christ speaks here in Matthew 18. We'll just start here in verse 1. It says, "At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" You know, little 2- and 3- and 4-year-old kids don't ever think about those type of things. That's not something that's on their mind, that's on their heart. They're mainly interested in playing and being loved and joining in the family and doing all the things that that we're hopefully going to do tomorrow. But you know, those of us who are grown, those of us who have, you know, jobs and we're out constantly working everywhere and maybe traveling more often than not. Sometimes, at least myself, sometimes I think, you know, I'm really working hard. I'm really doing the things that, you know, that the Lord's given me to do. And, you know, I think about this question, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And the fact of the matter is I love the Lord Jesus Christ's answer for that. He was called a little child of the king, and set him in the midst of them. How profound is that, brethren? Grown men, the apostles that Jesus Christ called, arguing over who's the best. And he didn't say Peter. He didn't say John. He didn't say any of those things. But he called unto him a little child. And he said, "Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of God of heaven." And verse 4 says, "Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." Now, I want to go to a familiar passage of scripture over in Psalms chapter 8. And I know this is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I don't want to take anything away from that. But there's something special, brethren, about as we journey in our lives, seeing our children grow, seeing our friends' children grow, seeing our brothers and sisters, you know, their children come and lead song service on a computer of all places. You know, it's a wonderful blessing, friends, to see these young ones getting involved. You know, I see Sister Myers and her kids, they got songbooks and they're all singing along, and you can see the Lord working in each and every one of their hearts. As we grow together in grace, and we take and we learn, as at least I try to, that I try and learn from these little kids, these little children. And I do that because the Lord Jesus Christ told me to. He told me that those little child, when he took that little child, he said, "This is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." And that's a monumentous statement, brethren, about how we look towards our children and the things that they have taught us. And if you go into Psalms chapter 8, in the very first verse, it says, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name, and all the earth, who hath set thy glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. And so what I want to look at here for just a few moments is the very first part of that, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, hast thou ordained strength. Now, like I said, I know this is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, but in all things, we ought to be able to see Christ. If a little child comes to you and they're, you know, calling out songs, their favorite song, and they're doing these things, they're leading song service, they're, you know, leading prayer, they're doing all these things, I can see Christ in that. I can see God working in those folks, in those children, and as they come and they speak to me, and I try and listen to the words that they say, you know, over in Exodus chapter 2, you know, as a, you know, we're talking about humbling ourselves as a little child. Children say things sometimes that they don't even know that they're really what exactly that they're saying, what they're relating to us, you know. And when a child is born, the way they communicate is through crying. And over in Exodus chapter 2, it says in the daughter in verse 5, it says, and the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river, and her maidens walked along by the riverside. And when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. Now, if you remember, you go read the first chapter of Exodus, the king of Egypt had decided that all of the men, all of the male children were to be executed. They were to be done away with. All of the male Hebrew children, I should say, should be done away with, such that only the little girl shall live. And all of these Israelite children, I guess we should say, the Egyptians had put the Israelites into bondage at this time. And as they were suffering through these things, Moses's mother was fearful because, you know, obviously she had a young boy. And so they built this little ark, and she placed him in it basically to save his life. And so when the daughter of Pharaoh saw the ark, she sent a maiden to fetch it. And in verse 6 it says, and when she had opened it, she saw the child. Now, what a great blessing it was to me as this has been kind of sitting on my heart all day long today, and trying to shake it off because of what I've been trying to study all week and last week. What a great blessing to me it was that when I opened up Zoom and I see people coming on, all the little children, all the wonderful faces and all the beautiful singing and all the wonderful things that we get to experience. And here, she opened it and she saw the child, and behold, the babe wept. And she had compassion on him and said, this is one of the Hebrews' children. Now, the way babies communicate to us is through weeping, right? Through crying. A lot of ways our children communicate with us that they're afraid or that they're hurting or whatever. A lot of those things is through crying, through weeping, through emotion. And the Lord deals with his people the exact same way. Right. And there's no difference between me than my children coming to me crying or me crying out to the Lord. We're shown many times that King David cried out to the Lord over and over and over in all of the things that he suffered. You go and read the book of Psalms, the complete book of Psalms. So many times he says, I cry out unto the Lord. How often have we done that in 2020? I mean, is that something that's only there for children? But when you relate that back, when he says, except you humble yourself as a little child. I mean, take a picture of those children and how it is they communicate, how it is that they do things. You know, in our prayer life, we think about all the times we go to the Lord in prayer. And when we think about the children, you know, if your child is outside playing and they fall and they cut their arm and they come in and they're crying and you wrap your arms around them and comfort them. Brethren, that's a beautiful picture of a parent and a child relationship. If a child comes running in because they're fearful and they run to you for protection, what do we do with the Lord when we come to the Lord and we're fearful, when we're afraid, when we're hurting, when we're crying, all of those things, we turn to the Lord in everything that we should do. And that is the model. When Jesus Christ says, humble yourself as a little child, that's what they do. That's what children do. But even greater. Now, when I talk about my prayer life, this is something that I don't do enough of. When I talk about my prayer life, you know, sometimes you'll be sitting there on the couch and the kids are, you know, playing around in the living room, playing a game or whatever. And one of them will stop and just come up and fall to your lap. And give you a big hug and a kiss. And say, Daddy, I love you. How often do we do that with the Lord? How often do we turn and stop what we're doing and just thank the Lord for where we are today? For the very fact that we're able to come together as a church and worship God, even if it's just Facebook, even if it's a Wednesday night on Facebook or on Zoom or wherever it might be, how often do we stop and say, Lord, thank you for this opportunity to come and sup with thee? You know, Jesus Christ says, Lord, I stand at the door and knock. He didn't say, if you open it, you get eternal life. He says, if you open it, I'll come in and sup with thee. Those are the most wonderful, beautiful gifts that we get. And brethren, when we forget about those things, we see them in our children. We see them in others' children. We see them how the children walk about Zion, loving the Lord in a more pure way than I do, in a more pure way than some of the greatest ministers that we know. They walk about Zion. They, well, when I was a kid, I was 23 years old. I had a big wheel, and the youngsters that don't know what that is, I'm sure maybe some of you have one, but it's a one wheel in the front, one gigantic wheel in the front and two in the back, and I used to ride that around my driveway there in Austin, three, maybe four, and at that time, my favorite song was to play on the golden harp, and I'd ride around that thing, and I'd catch the wheel on the curb and spin that little big wheel around, and I just had the greatest times, you know, driving that little big wheel all over the neighborhood and all up and down the driveway. And the whole time I was singing to play on the golden harp, you know, neighbors would walk past me and look at me and I would sing, I want to be where Jesus is. And brethren, that's a great and a glorious gift. If we take a minute and see it, if we take just a moment and look upon it and humble ourselves just like they do. I mean, they do it out of a pure heart. They do it from a standpoint of this is God working within them. And a lot of times me as a grown man push back on those things. Maybe sometimes I might try and reject those things or say, you know, you can't get emotional at this time because it's not manly or whatever it might be. But brethren, let me tell you something. When you humble yourself as a little child, the kingdom of heaven becomes so much more glorious. So much more to each and every one when we come to the Lord, when we're in pain, when we come to the Lord, when we're struggling, when we come to the Lord, when we're afraid. Brethren, the greatest gift to any child of God is knowing where to turn and who to turn to. You know, out of the mouth of God, in second, ordained strength. You know, I've got hundreds of stories about my children, and it's a wonderful a wonderful thing to get to share those. And I'm so very thankful that that they come to mind at this time of year. You know, just before my son passed away, we were at the camp meeting at Bethel. And, you know, we go into this meeting, and, you know, of course, he'd been gone for the whole month of June and most of July. He'd been out visiting friends for the summer, family members for the summer, and just doing his singing school and his typical rounds. So he comes home, and we go eat supper, and we visit and hang out and do new things and have a good time. And Saturday morning, we wake up early, and we get in the car, and we drive to Bethel Quarterback's Church. And, you know, Saturday morning, the place is packed, so we sit outside, and then Saturday afternoon, a few people have left, so then there's seats inside. I mean, the preaching was amazing. The singing was amazing. I mean, the Lord was in the place. And it's not like King David said, the Lord was in the place, I knew it not. No, we knew it. He was there. He was there in a big way. And so much so that I mean, I couldn't believe that the building could contain the beautiful time that we had there. And I remember some of the sermons, and I don't want to talk about those, but I remember in the afternoon, Casey had gone out to sit, with one of his friends, and he came back inside. I don't know what was going on, but he came back inside and sat down with us, and he started listening to the preaching and really got involved in the preaching service in a big way, like I've never seen him before. And he was enjoying his time, and we got through that, and man, he sure did. He commented on how great, you know, the afternoon service was. We go into the evening service, and man, it was just a wonderful service. And you know, as we walked out to the car, and this is what I want to get from some of this. You know, these youngsters they minister to me. They minister to us in so many different ways. And this scripture points to a picture of Christ and these children being such wonderful examples of who we should be and how honest and how pure that we should be in each and everything we do. It says, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength. You know, we walked out to the truck that night. It was about 9:30. And we were all tired. We were all worn out. And we got to the truck and we were opening the door there. And Tracy said, Daddy, he said, I didn't want to come here today. I'm so glad I did. Let me tell you something, brethren. That gives me strength to this very day. That lifts me up. All the time when I'm struggling with something, I hear those words, I didn't want to do this, but I'm so glad I did. You know, do you ever get up in the morning and say, man, it's, you know, I worked all day yesterday. I dug, you know, 25 post holes and built fence and did all these things, and you're just completely worn out. And Sunday morning, you're just like, man, I'm just too tired to go. But you get up and you put your clothes on and you head to the house of God. And then when you get home and you're rejoicing and you say, man, I didn't want to go this morning, but thank God I went, because I would have missed out on something so wonderful and so great that the Lord prepared just for me. When we think about those things and we look on those things and we grow in grace in those things, these young children minister to us so often, and they don't even know it. You know, over in 1 Samuel, we think about I got to find this here. In 1 Samuel chapter 2, down about verse 18, it says, "But Samuel ministered before the Lord, being a child, girded with a linen ephod." It says Samuel ministered being a child. And if you go over to chapter 3, and the very first verse, it says, "And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no vision." Brethren, these children minister to each and every one of us through the life that they live, through their actions that they take as they enter into the house of God and they walk about Zion. Brethren, they walk about Zion knowing no better, knowing no difference, because that's the way that prayerfully we've brought them up in nurture and admonition of the Lord. But brethren, when they come to the house of God, and the ladies at the Lamb Pastor's Church when I was growing up used to give me quarters. They'd come up to me and give me quarters if I'd go lead a song. They'd be like, here's a quarter. I want you to go lead this song for me. I was 2. I might have been 3. I didn't know. I knew all the songs, but I mean, they were paying attention to me, and I didn't do it for the quarter. I did it because I loved to sing, because I loved to take part in the service of God. It was so important to me when someone would pull out a song. Even to this day, I would rather get up and let the congregation call the song, because I would rather sing whatever it is that the congregation wants to sing than what it is that I want to sing. And I thank God every day that a lot of times you hear this little voice back there in the back that says, will you sing this number? And brethren, it is so heartfelt and so wonderful and so uplifting to hear those little children bold in the house of the Lord, calling out the songs, thanking God for the things that he has given them throughout their lives. And so I can think of 100 different stories that we can go through and talk about, but I want to focus more on what it means to humble ourselves as a little child. You know, those children, when they come into us and they're hurting or they're afraid, many times they come to us crying and looking for comfort, seeking comfort. A lot of times when I head to the house of God, it's been a rough week and I'm seeking comfort. Jesus Christ says in Matthew 11, verse 28, he says, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Think about that for a moment. When you come unto the God of heaven and to Jesus Christ, your Lord, he gives you rest. And children do that all by themselves. You know, they do that all by themselves. They come straight to their parents because that's who they depend on. And it's natural for them to depend on them. Why do we, as we grow, lose our nature, our natural dependence upon the Lord? We depended upon our mom and dad when we were young. We depended upon them to clothe us, to feed us, to do all those things. But when we grow up and we become adults, we no longer depend on the Lord as we ought to for those things. And I thank God every day that when I see one of these little children in a church service leading songs, or see one of these little children and they walk up and give me a high five or whatever it might be, and I see how it is they interact, they're just going about their day trusting that the place that they're in is safe and wonderful. Why? Because mom and dad are there, because they have that connection with their parents. And brethren, we as children of God, even as adults, ought to have that exact same dependence upon our God, that exact same confidence in our Lord when something tragic happens, that God is there. I'm Mr. Fix-It, brother. And anything and everything that comes to the roof of my house, I don't pay a soul to fix nothing. I'll work on something, and I'll work on something, and I can't tell you how many times he says, are you sure you know what you're doing? A lot of times the answer to that's no, but I'll figure it out. But a lot of times too, if I depend on the Lord more, and I pray, say I'm fixing a pump on a septic tank or something, which I want, I thought about it now, I know how to do it, and I won't pay him again. Poor guy. But I can do those things myself now. But when I come together and if I'm coming to a difficult situation in a car dealership or a problem car, a lot of times before I go into that store, I'll stop and I'll say a prayer. Lord, give me strength. Give me wisdom. Give me the grace to get through this. I can get home to my family, so I can get back to doing the things that I truly love to do, which is go to preach the gospel, love my wife and my family, and be a part of the family and the church family across this nation that I know and love so very, very much. And brethren, when we look upon that and we understand what that means, Jesus Christ said in Matthew 18, verse 4, back to where we started, verily I say unto you, except you be converted and become as a little child. All of these pictures that we've drawn, are a beautiful picture of Christ. This is a beautiful picture of Christ within each and every one of us, each and every child of God, from the very youngest to the very oldest. He says, except you be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall enter himself as this little child, the same as the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Now, we talked about Moses, the child, and we're coming into a season that I haven't been as hyped about as the nation has kind of. Anyways, over in Isaiah chapter 9, I want to look at another child, and this is the one that each and every one of us ought to humble ourselves as. And in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, he says, for unto us a child is born. God sent his child, the Lord Jesus Christ, to suffer for my stead, to pay the price that I ought to pay the debts that I owe. He says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. That God, that Father, that one that we should depend on and look to in every single thing that we do. Not just on Sunday morning, not just on Wednesday when you're scared to death to get on Facebook and preach, but in every single day, the same dependence that we had on our parents when we were 2 and 3 ought to be the exact same dependence that we have on the Lord, on our Father in heaven, because he sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law to redeem each and every child of God. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. The Lord Jesus Christ is from eternity to eternity. He wasn't born into the world in became the Lord Jesus Christ. Before the world was, so was the Lord Jesus Christ. He had no beginning. He has no end, brethren. I want you to think about that for just a second as we try and understand the full point of what it means to trust in the eternal God in all that we do. If you remember over in 2 Kings chapter 5, I think it's chapter 5, the story of Naaman. It was a young maid that told Naaman's wife that there was a prophet in Israel that could take away his leprosy. That was from a little child. Samuel ministered as a child. The beautiful picture of the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The beautiful studies that we do of the life that he lived and all the great miracles that he performed. The devastation of seeing his suffering in his death. But brethren, the beautiful victory in the resurrection of Christ. Brethren, those are some things that I hold so very dear in each and everything that I do. Some of the things, you know, before we went home to be with the Lord, I never thought twice about the resurrection. I never prayed once that the resurrection day would come. But brethren, let me tell you something. I pray constantly for the resurrection day to get here, that the Lord Jesus Christ will come and take each and every one of us home to be with him in heaven. And I pray every day that I live that I will look to all these little children and how they act and how they walk and how they humble themselves in a natural way, dependence upon their parents and all of those things, that I can be exactly the same as a needful and depraved child of the Most High God and look to him in all things that I need and that I do. Brethren, I so appreciate the time, and I hope and trust that each and every one of you has been richly blessed in some way, shape, or form today. I know I was in the singing and the song service and seeing each and every one of you here this evening. So may the Lord richly bless you is my prayer, and I thank you all so very much.